Amen, amen. With your Bibles open now to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. I want to begin reading here in verse 1 down through verse 5 and read these verses as a way of introduction, Genesis 5. But I want to speak to you on the genealogy that's identified here. To me, it's amazing when I study Scripture how you see so much typology. I love typology in the Scripture. I love pictures in the Bible, especially from the Old Testament. And I find some great, great typology that's identified here, even in chapter 5. The Bible says in Genesis 5 and verse 1, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. And the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them." And I want you to mark verse 2. It says, "And called their name Adam in the day when they were created." By the way, notice right here, before Eve's name was ever Eve, the Bible says right here that God identified both of them as Adam. You say, "Brother Tim, why is it that the ladies today, why do they take the name of the man when they get married?" I believe it goes right back here to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2. The Bible says that God identified both of them as Adam. The Bible says again, "And called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years." And I do believe literally that is 930 years. I believe as 24-hour day as you and I enjoy even today, Bible says he lived 930 years and he died. Now stop and think about it for a moment. Have you ever wondered when you read through the Scripture, why in the world, when reading through the Bible, why did God record so much genealogy? I mean, you read the genealogy and you see that, you know, Adam had sons and he had sons and he had sons. And you see there's a whole lineage. You go over here in the book of Chronicles, the book of Kings, and you see all the lineage over there. I think about the lineage you find, of course, in Matthew chapter 1 and also Luke chapter 1, great lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what's the importance? Why make such a big deal about the lineage, amen, the genealogy? I mean, think about it. Is there any spiritual value to all the genealogies that are mentioned in the Bible? You know, sure, yes, there are historical value without question, but what about the spiritual relevance? What makes it so important for us to have it in the Word of God? You know, oftentimes we ignore them, I believe, because, you know, of the long repetitions of the name. I mean, you get reading that and it gets boring. And you say, "Lord, you know, I'm reading my Bible and I'm going through my daily study. What in the world are you trying to teach me right here as I read all these long names? And some of these names are so hard to pronounce. And, you know, what's so important about these names?" But when you do a closer study of these names, you learn some great truths. You learn some important lessons. And this morning, I want us to examine a little bit closer right here in Genesis chapter 5. And I do believe a closer examination of Genesis 5 reveals to us a beautiful picture. We find right here in this one chapter a beautiful typology, literally, of the complete age of man upon the earth. I find right here the entire age of man from creation to the very end of time. Every one of all the different ages of man, all the different dispensations of men, all the different time frames of men, they're all identified, a beautiful picture of everything identified right here from Adam all the way down to Noah. And this morning, I want us to break these names down. I want to give you a definition of every name right here. And I'm going to break these names down and help us to understand why I believe that God gave us right here Genesis 5. Why I believe if we were to do a real good thorough study of all the different genealogies, I think you'd be amazed at what God is teaching us and all the different genealogies we have in the Scripture. So notice number one, the first name we find right here in verse 1, or verse 5, should I say, is the name Adam. Go back there with me again. Adam. "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Now, if you go back and do a little bit closer study on the name Adam, you'll learn the name literally means man of the red earth, or literally red man. Think about that for a moment. The cradle of man, more than likely, it lies somewhere between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. We don't know exactly, of course, where God came down and drew in the dirt to form Adam. But no doubt it's somewhere there between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. It's interesting to me that several years ago, scientists claimed that there's a small race of dark Indians who originated from that area. By the way, take your Bible. We're here in Genesis 5. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 2 just to give you that scripture right here. And Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. I'm sure you've got it marked in your Bible, but go back there with me. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man, how? Of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The father of man is from the dirt of the ground. Now, I know we think we're special. I know we think we're all that. I know we think we've got, you know, so much good pedigree and we got such good heritage. But the Bible tells us that Adam had nothing in his heritage. Adam had nothing in himself to boast of. I hate to break the news to you, but you don't have that great of a heritage, amen. You might have had some good dads and grandparents, and you might have a good lineage to a certain degree. But the Bible tells us that all of us, we came from the dirt of the ground. We have nothing in ourselves to boast of. You know, we men today, we ladies today, we have a heritage that's worth nothing. I think about that. Think about the Bible turn to Romans chapter 3. You know these verses very well. In Romans chapter 3, we find here a breakdown of just who we are. We find here a breakdown of what kind of people the Bible identifies us as being right here. In Romans chapter 3, pick up reading with me in verse 10. You say, Brother Tim, but I've got good family, and I come from good stock, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm a pretty good old person. Bible says in Romans chapter 3, I want you to begin reading with me here in verse number 10. I want you to notice what the Bible says. Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No matter who you are, no matter what background you come from, the Bible says we're not righteous in the sight of God. We're not good in the sight of God. Nobody is good in the sight of God. Bible says in verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You might think you're a pretty good old person, but the Bible says you don't even truly seek after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. And there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used to see. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, because of all of that, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You can't justify yourself in the sight of God. We are all as filthy rags before a holy God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, the Bible tells us we're dirty, rotten sinners in the sight of God. And when you really go back in the scripture and you break down who you are and what you are, Bible says we are of the dust of the ground, and of the dust of the ground we shall return. You know, when you pass from this old world, you're going to go back to the dust of the ground. You're not going to have a U-Haul truck behind you taking all your money and all your houses and all your land. Bible says we're going to die, and our bodies will return back to the dirt of the ground. I find here that Adam, his name literally means red earth. It means red man. But go back with me again to Genesis chapter 5, and I want you to jump down to verse number 6. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 6, notice the second man we find here in the Bible. We find the name Seth. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Now the name Seth literally means a substitute needed. Now I want you to pay attention as I teach this on the divine order of these names. First of all, we have the man of the red earth, or red man. Secondly, we have a substitute needed. Because Adam was of the red earth, because Adam failed in the Garden of Eden, because Adam sinned before a holy God, Adam needed a substitute. By the way, Cain wasn't the substitute. Abel was murdered. He wasn't the substitute, so God had to provide a substitute. And because of the fall of man in the garden, Seth inherited the sin of Adam. Think about that for a moment. As Seth inherited the sin of Adam, likewise, everybody sitting in this room, everybody on the face of this earth today, we all inherited the sin of our father, amen. We're all sinners in the sight of God. And because we've inherited the sin of Adam, Jesus came down some 2,000 years ago, and Jesus bore the sins of all mankind. To give you text on that, the Bible says in 1 Peter, turn there with me for a moment, in 1 Peter chapter 2, and 1 Peter chapter 2, notice what it says here with me, at verse number 24, who his own self bear our own sins in his own body, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Note that. Bible says the only way that you and I can be gorged to save by the grace of God is not by the good works we do. We are remnant. We are of the dirt of the ground, and we are nothing in ourselves. But thank God, God sent a substitute. God sent someone on our behalf. And God, the Bible says, provided Jesus Christ to come for you and me. He provided Seth to come for Adam. But he provided Jesus Christ to come for you and me, amen. And the Bible says that Jesus bore our sins on in his own body, on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness. You can't live under righteousness on your own. There's nothing within yourself to do that makes you good enough to go to heaven, amen. The Bible says that lived under righteousness, and the Bible says here, by whose stripes you were healed. Thank God I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I'm healed by the crucifixion of Christ on the cross of Calvary when he shed his blood on Calvary's hill that you and I might be gloriously saved. And thank God he went to that grave. He suffered. He bled. He died. But thank God on the third day he arose. Amen. Thank God he's not in a grave anymore. So I find right here that Seth is that substitute. We find Adam. He's the red man of the earth. We find Seth. But notice number 3. There's another name identified right here. Notice Enos in verse 9. Bible says that Enos lived, the son of Seth, and Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. Now it's interesting to me, when you go back and begin to study that name out, Enos, that name Enos, it literally means, this is amazing to me, but it's true, it literally means the dying Christ. Get a hold of that for a moment. Enos right here is a beautiful picture. He's a beautiful typology of the Lamb of God who came and died for sinful man. Bible says in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Thank God this morning that Jesus Christ voluntarily laid down his life for me and for you. Bible says there in John chapter 10, turn there for a moment. I want you again to mark these verses, John chapter 10 and verse 17 and 18. Two of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, John chapter 10 and verse 17. Bible says, therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man, I want you to see that, no man taketh it from me. Nobody sat there and actually did all the true crucifying of Jesus Christ. He voluntarily laid down his life. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus Christ voluntarily gave his life for mine and your sins. Bible says there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died in your stead. Jesus became your substitute. And Jesus became the dying Christ. We find God's divine timetable right here being revealed in Genesis chapter 5. I find Enos. I find Seth. I find Adam. But go back with me also to chapter 5 of Genesis and note what it says in verse 12. And Canaan lived 75 years and begat Mahalalel. Now, when you begin to study it out, you'll find that Canaan, the name literally means to purchase back or to buy back. Now, this ought to make a Baptist want to just shout for glory, amen. When you see the beautiful typology being identified right here, when Christ died on the cross, when Christ gave his life and shed his blood, we were purchased, we were redeemed, how? By the blood of the Lamb of God, amen. Take your Bible again and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, you know these verses very well. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, we weren't bought by money, amen. You can't buy your salvation with money. You can't buy your salvation with silver or gold. But the Bible says in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest. He was revealed in these last times for you. Thank God I've been redeemed. How? Not by money, not by silver or gold, not by good works, not by good deeds. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I think about that. I think about the story of Boaz and Ruth. Bible says in Ruth chapter 4 and verse number 10, moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased, this is Boaz saying this, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place, your witnesses this day. Think about that for a moment. As Boaz purchased Ruth to be his wife, likewise Jesus Christ has bought us to be his bride. Amen. Thank God, as a child of God, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, you and I, we have been purchased back. We have been bought back. How? By the precious blood of Christ. I should be dead and in the grave today. I should be on my way to hell today, but thank God Jesus Christ purchased me back. Jesus Christ bought me back. And we see all of that presented in typology. We see all of that presented right here in a beautiful picture in Genesis chapter 5. I find right here Enos. I find right here Canaan. I find here Seth. I find here Adam. But also notice as well, notice next Mahalalel. Notice in verse 15, Genesis 5, verse 15, and Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. Now again, the name Mahalalel, you know what it means? Think about it. Think about the divine timetable going on. We've already seen the dying Christ. We've already seen the red man. We've already seen the substituted one. We've seen the dying Christ. We've seen to be purchased back or bought back. Now, Mahalalel literally means resurrection. Think about that. Mahalalel is a beautiful patron type of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The resurrection of our Lord is the cornerstone of our faith. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Those of our loved ones that have gone on before us, those that are already dead in the grave, if Christ is not resurrected, if Christ did not come forth out of that grave, then they which are already asleep, the Bible says in verse 18, they're perished. They're annihilated. You see, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. They believe once you're in the grave, your body's annihilated. They believe once you're in the grave, there is no afterlife. They believe this is the best life you're ever going to live. They believe right here, if you're saved by the grace of God, they believe that this is heaven. With all the crime, all the sin, all the wickedness, they believe this is heaven. That's as wicked and as perverted as can be. Bible says in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this is the best it's ever going to be, folks, we're in trouble. You look at all the wars, all the crimes, you look at the riots, you look at all the filth that's going on around this nation, around this world. If this is what heaven's all about, I don't want any part of it, amen. Thank God I got a better place waiting for me. I got a home in heaven, amen, to be with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's a place that's holy. It's a place that's righteous. It's a place that's divine. I find here Mahalalel. He is the resurrection. But notice next in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 18, notice his son was named Jared. Bible says in verse 18 of Genesis chapter 5, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. The name Jared literally means to pour out or to descend upon. Again, think about the picture I'm showing you. Think about the typology being revealed here. Think about the divine order of God's timetable. We see here a picture and a type next of the blessed Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost. We've seen a substitute needed. We've seen the Lord come down and he's provided a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. He's purchased us back. He's resurrected from the grave. And now we see right here, we see Jared, meaning the picture and the type of the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost. Bible says there in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, I know you've got these verses marked in your Bible. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly There came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, not unknown tongues. The Bible says they spoke with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Think about it for a moment. We see here a beautiful picture, a beautiful typology, the Holy Spirit coming down and indwelling men, coming down and being with them and walking and talking with them. That's what Jared is a picture and type of here in Genesis chapter 5. Then go back with me to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. Next we find Enoch. I want you to read with me verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now the name Enoch literally means to be translated that he should not see death. After the pouring of the Holy Spirit, what takes place next? Enoch is a picture of the church being raptured before the judgment of the great flood. Before the judgment of God coming down and putting out the tribulation upon this earth. Notice that Enoch right here, and this is very important, Enoch leaves when? Before the great flood. The Bible says he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. What a great and beautiful picture of the rapture of the church, amen, the rapture of you and I. Next, in verse 25, we find Methuselah. Methuselah, of course, was the oldest man to ever live on this earth. I believe he was the oldest man because God was being merciful. The Bible says in Genesis 5 and verse 25, and Methuselah lived 180 years and begat Lamech. Bible says in verse 27, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. You ought to mark verse 27 because that verse shows us the oldest man to ever live upon the face of the earth. Methuselah's name literally means when he is gone, it shall come. I believe Methuselah lived to be the oldest man on earth because God was being as merciful to this world as he possibly could. God was giving this earth ample opportunity to get saved. He was giving every soul on earth at that time ample opportunity to make things right with God. Judgment, though, could not take place as long as he was living. By the way, the tribulation period cannot take place as long as the church is still on this earth. As long as you and I are still here, as long as the Holy Spirit of God is still here on this earth, the judgment of God is not going to take place because he already crucified the Savior once on the Calvary. He's not going to sit there and bring his judgment back on mankind again. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8 to give you some scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The work of the Antichrist has already taken place right now. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let it will end. By the way, it's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who now alloweth, who now letteth, will let. That word letteth, that's an old English word meaning allow. Only he who now letteth will let. The Holy Spirit is allowing everything to take place right now for a reason. Until he be taken out of the way. You see, there's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out. When the Holy Spirit's taken out, by the way, if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got the Holy Spirit living in you. If you're saved by the grace of God, he indwells within you, amen. And when he goes, thank God I go with him. Wherever he goes, the Bible says in John 14, verse 16 through 18, wherever he goes, I go. Wherever I go, he goes, amen. And the Bible says in verse 8, and then when he is taken out, when the Holy Spirit is taken out, and then shall that wicked, you see the word wicked, that's capitalized, that's a personal pronoun, that's talking about the Antichrist himself. And then shall that wicked be revealed, when the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. We find right here that when the Holy Spirit is taken out, then the tribulation period will take place. When Enoch was finally, or should I say when Methuselah was finally taken out, then that's when the great judgment took place on this earth. Go back with me to Genesis 5. Real quickly, we see Lamech in verse 28. Genesis 5, 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. Now, Lamech right here literally means the coming conquering king. I find here a type of Jesus coming to set up rule and reign over this world. Christ came first as a babe in a manger. Thank God he'll come again as a king, ruling and reigning. I love the scripture where it says in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. Bible says, Revelation 19 and verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire." It doesn't say his eyes were a flame of fire, but when John saw him, the best way John could describe him was said, his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses. That's going to be me and you, amen. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's the saints of God. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank God, I'm coming back with him. Some glorious day. And when he comes back to rule and reign, if you're saved by the grace of God, thank God you'll come back with him to rule and reign. Amen. And then notice finally, in verse 29, we've gone from Seth all the way down to Noah right here. We find 10 different men, identifying 10 different complete ages of mankind. Bible says in Genesis 5 and verse 29, "And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us." Note that. "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." The name Noah literally means comfort. It means to rest. Praise God, Noah found rest and security. Where? In the ark of God. Noah never faced judgment. I'm thankful to say this morning that if you're saved, secure, and in Jesus Christ, we have our security in the Lord. Our ark is Jesus Christ. He is our way out. And thank God, I'll never face judgment of this old world. I'll never face the tribulation of this old world because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, the order of these verses in Genesis 5, it proves God's divine timetable. His will is being completed right on time. And if you'll read these scriptures, the next step in his timetable is the rapture of the church. And in thinking about that, let me ask you this. Are you ready for that day? Are you prepared in your heart as in salvation? Do you know without a doubt, if you were to die right now, do you know that you know that you know that you've been born again by God's grace? Are you prepared even as a Christian? Are you prepared in your service to Christ? If not, prepare your heart today. Make sure today that you know without a doubt you're ready to meet the Savior face to face. Noah was ready. Noah worked. Noah labored. But Noah found rest. Noah found comfort in the ark of the Lord. And this morning you can find comfort in God's ark if you'll just come to Him. Let us pray.